This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijin Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Kia ora to our Cook Island audience and welcome everyone to Nijin Footy Fridays. This is the number one place for Pacifica footy news and stories in the Rugby League and Rugby Union Worlds. My name is Sam Wykes and alongside me is my Cook Island Koi, Tinidar Arona T. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, mate. Kia ora and kia ora to all our listeners across the Pacific. Mate, footy is heating up. Men's Origin is less than 1 week away, and that always puts... you know, affects the NRL teams that are playing this weekend.
Which affect the Dogs. It affect the Dogs.
Oh, yeah. Affected the Dogs last night against the Dolphins, which we'll touch on shortly, and a couple other games in round 12 in the NRL. Plus, there's two rounds left of the Super Rugby and the Moana Pacifica, mate. They have a shot at making history. So we'll chat to Totai Kefu and... oh, yeah, we've got Totai Kefu reporting live from Japan.
Yep, absolutely. We'll get him on to discuss that as well as go through. It's finally announced his appointment to be the Pacifica and First Nations coach.
Who will take on the British and Irish Lions.
So old news for our audience.
Oh, because you released
it.
Weeks ago.
So get on that bus. Get on. Start listening because you get the scoop here on Nijin Footy.
And no Salatonga Tuki this week with Origin Camp, but... if you want to hear some thoughts on what Queensland need to do this week to try and avoid a whitewash from the New South Wales Blues team, listen back to our Monday episode with Shelley Long, who breaks it all down. Let's rip into the show.
Hi guys, my name is Esai Hangana and I'm listening to Nijin Footy.
Sammy, let's start with last night's game, the Bulldogs versus the Dolphins in Sydney. Dolphins won this one 44-8. Yes, the Bulldogs were missing a few players due to injury and state of origin.
I think suspension as well.
Suspensions. I think
Dubon Nua is still suspended. Yep.
And the big one from that they lost was their captain, Stephen Crichton.
Of course.
Viliami Kikau actually led the team out last night for the Bulldogs, but very, very wet conditions. If you're living in Sydney, you'd understand the amount of rain that's been pouring down over the last couple of days. And with that comes wet weather footy. Do you know what that looks
like? Yeah, honestly, from a rugby union point of view, it was probably my least favourite time to play was in the wet just because it was just scrum more, just knock on after knock on. But and just the tough carries that you need to take.
Yep.
Oh, because it's, I just got folded like a deck chair. I was no good. In a league sense, we sort of got a bit of a glimpse how it affected the Queensland women's team against New South Wales, but... what were those conditions like for these two? I know the scoreline's there, but how did it affect them?
I think those little errors, you know, making sure that the errors at the play of the ball, you know, you can't try and go for the quick play of the ball with one hand. And we've seen a few of those errors, which changed a bit of the momentum in the game last night. So taking your time, playing the ball, but also, you know, you can't run around the teams in wet weather footy. You have to go direct and straight through the middle, which I thought the Dolphins done well. Now, first try was scored from the Samoan winger, Jermaine Isako. This was off a set play from the Dolphins, went through four sets of hands, and the final pass from Max Fiangai to Isako for a one-hand put-down in the corner. So, great start to the Dolphins. The Bulldogs, they respond 20 minutes later, from a crossfield kick from Matt Burden, and the ball bounces into the hands of the Bulldogs prop, Lipoi Hopoi. Now, Hopoi scored his first ever NRL try, so congrats to him, but that was the Bulldogs' only try.
I know his cousin pretty well, and I asked him to ask Lipoi if he can come on the show. He reckons the guy was shaking.
Like, no way.
So nervous of the thought of actually coming on a show to do an interview. He goes, I don't know if I can do that. What are they going to ask? Like, he goes, you know what, mate? Don't worry about it, bro. Like, he got angry at it. He goes, how can you just run and be like that type of player, but you can't talk to my mate here?
play in front of thousands, tens of thousands of people on live TV and can't jump on. But I'm sure we will.
We'll get him on. We'll convince him.
And in the second half, mate, it was all the Dolphins. They scored 5 unanswered tries. You know, they won the momentum through direct carries. Cook Island, Samoan Francis Molo, he was very solid in the middle. He made the most meters in this game with 145 meters from 15 carries, and he scored a try of his own as well.
Keely got a one-hander back to Francis Molo, and he's over to score next to the post. They've got some cake. They got some beautiful, rich chocolate ice cream topping and whacked it all over it. 6 minutes 20 to go. Dolphins now thrashing Canterbury. 30 points to wait with a kick to come. And Francis Molo, he's over for his first try as a Dolphin.
And I thought Fijian hooker Kurt Donohue, he was also busy in the middle making the most tackles for the Dolphins, 38 in total. But the way that he finished the game with a nice try of his own, kept off a good victory for the Dolphins.
Donohue goes to the left, Nikarima. That looks forward away to Lemuelu. Back on the inside, Donohue, he beats one, he'll score. He dives over. I did think that inside ball looked forward from a distance. Kurt Donohue gets the try, kicks the ball up into the stands. Dolphins 42, Bulldogs 8, they're loving it. They're up against a team that has simply stopped playing. It is very un-Bulldogs-like, but it's all Dolphins. They continue to crack.
I thought your cuz, Isaiah Katoa, I thought he was awesome. Just the maturity of his game and the way that he's growing into his role at halfback, directing the traffic, and you know, even his kicking game. But a lot of the shape that he plays, the Dolphins play, he's usually the first receiver, and he sets up that tone of the tone of the play. So he knows how far to get into the line, pull the trigger out the back. But also I feel like his union style really suited well to wet weather footy and being able to get across the field and play those early shapes. And yeah, I just thought he played a really good controlled game last night.
Do you think with the way he's playing at the moment, he's really understanding like the tempo of a game, the conditions, and understanding how to manage a game of football, not just necessarily relying on talent? Like, he really understands how to navigate his team, how to manage his team and direct them around the park?
I think he's building into that player. Yeah. And you can see the growth of it, especially over the last couple seasons. We spoke off here this morning about the role of a halfback and how they can change the momentum through just one action.
Yep. You know,
whether it's an early kick or a 40-20 or the right play, he's becoming that player to understand when's the right time to shift that momentum for his team and what play. I'm really looking forward to watching how his game develops over the years to come. He's a star of the future. Now, the rest of Round 12 in the NRL, we only have 4 games over this weekend left, and I've picked 2 that we'll preview. First one is the Arona Cup. You know what the Arona Cup
is,
Sammy?
I do, my friend, I do. It would be the Roosters and Sharkies' most valuable trophy to play for, I think.
Yeah.
Or cup to play for.
The two clubs that I was honoured to represent. And
is it official yet? Have they adopted the Arona Cup, or are we trying to get more traction for it?
Oh, there'd be a fair few players that might be ahead of the Arona Cup. Okay. They had, you know, the great James Maloney play for both teams and win competitions for both as well.
So
I think he might be at the top of the list. But Roosters sitting 13th on the ladder and the Sharks 5th. The Roosters missing 5 players to Origin, including props Lindsay Collins and Spencer Leniu. This gives the opportunity for 2 players in their squad, Makahise Makatoa and also Selesi Foketi. So they'll be starting that prop. Now, when you look on the other end for the Sharks, they're pretty much full strength, and they'll be going up against Adam Fanua-Blake and Oregon Kaufusi. They start for the Sharks. Now, these 2 props, in comparison to the other 2, great opportunity to, you know, display or show what value they add to the Roosters. Have you ever had this situation where, you know, you've been listed in the starting team, and then you look at your opposite number, and you're like, damn, that's a high-profile player.
Guys, that happened to me every week. Like, I was that, like, oh, my goodness, there's Chris Jack. There was Bucky's Botha, the, you know, South African locks. And I'm just like going, do I belong in this field with these guys? Like,
I know the feeling, man. I know the feeling.
I was just a humble battler.
There were times when I was playing and I'd look at the opposite number and I'm like, man, I idolize this guy and I loved playing PlayStation, like him on the PlayStation game.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And using his character. And now here I am playing up against him. So I'm sure this is, you know, for young Selesi Fokiti, a great opportunity to come up against Adam Fanua-Blake, who's one of the best props in our game. Also, young hooker making his NRL debut off the bench for the Roosters, Benaya Loelu. He also is a Horwick Hornets junior. And, you know, I wish him all the best. We've also got Taylor Losalu coming off the bench, and he is the concreter.
Oh, yep, yep.
The concreter. He's also a Tongan. I spoke to him in Magic Weekend, and I said, oh, bro, is it true that you went to work after your NRL debut? And he's like, yeah, bro. My dad said, get back, you know, starting time. Good game, but you're back on the tools in the morning. So
that's going to put him out. That's going to put him in good stead. You know, the coaches will always hear that story and they'll just know that's character, that's work ethic. We want this type of player in our team.
The other matchup that I'm looking forward to, if Mark Nawangani Tewase plays on the right side for the Roosters, he'll be coming up against Kale Edo and also Ronaldo Mulitalo. So look out for that matchup.
Did the Sharkies get anyone in?
Like in Origin?
In Origin, because they are full strength.
They got everyone.
They can really Nico do some Hines. Damage during this Origin period.
They got Sio Sifa Talakai coming off the bench with Braden Hamlin-Uele.
Yep.
So they're good to go. So, but, man, we've said this all year about teams coming, you know, the underdog teams coming into these games, and there's been that many upsets, and if there is one this weekend, don't be surprised if Roosters put up a good fight, especially with the wet weather footy.
I like where your head's at for that.
And in my other game, I've got the Vegas rematch. The Warriors taking on the Raiders. Yeah, that was an entertaining round one where the Raiders looked very strong against the Warriors in Las Vegas earlier this year. But the Warriors now sit second on the ladder and the Raiders fourth. The Warriors have only lost Mitch Barnett to New South Wales and the Raiders losing Hudson Young to the Blues as well. The Warriors, we've got Bunty Afoa. Big Bunty off the back fence. He starts at prop. And I like the back rowers, Leka Halasima and Marata Niokure starting at back row for the Warriors. And the Raiders, you know, big Joseph Tapine locks in at prop. And then they've got Semi Sasangi at back row for the Raiders. The big battle that I'm looking forward to seeing is the back lines. A great athletic battle. When you look at both back lines, you know, with the Raiders, KO Weeks, Savelio Tamale, Matthew Timoko, Sebastian Chris, and Xavier Savage. And just that young athletic build where they just, you know, got fast leg speed, gets their sets going with their strong carries. They come up against a pretty experienced backline in Chance Nickel-Klokstad, Dallin Watine-Zelezniak, Adam Pompey, Kurt Capewell, and the one and only Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. So back five versus back five. It's going to be an entertaining game.
Solid matchup, that one.
So look out for those two games in the NRL round 12 this weekend. In other news, we have the Origin squads that were dropped Sunday and Monday. So we had a quick chat about them on Monday early in the week. But Sammy, did you have any more thoughts on the New South Wales and Queensland Origin teams?
I guess it's always hard to get a gauge on who's actually fully fit, ready to go into these games. You know, if someone doesn't train and the media gets a hold of it, oh, he's out for sure. But we all know people get managed their loads. Some might have had a 5-day turnaround or a 7-day turnaround. So just interested to keep my eye on who actually lines up. Hopefully yep. Payne Huss is there and his quad's not too bad. But I just think everyone's just, they wouldn't be there if they weren't fully fit for Wednesday.
Well, Stephen Crichton says he's fit, he's ready to go with that groin injury. Payne Huss has that minor quad strain. But have you ever gone into a game with a minor injury and what effect has it had on your game leading into your preparation?
I think it's a really good point, and it's really, I don't think it's talked about enough, the amount of times that players are never 100% fit.
Yeah.
Like at this level, it's very rare that you've got nothing wrong with you. Like the amount of times that I think you've, and you would have had it too, you're getting a jab in your shoulder because your AC joint's sore, a jab in the rib, you know, to get local anesthetic in this because you've cartilage or something, your foot's not right, your knee's a bit sore, but these players are battle hardened to know that you overcome it. Come game day, you're just confident that you strap it up, you're looked after, and you're ready to go. The occasion ends up outweighing how you're feeling.
Yeah, this time of year, I'd be very surprised if any players are playing at 100% health. Yeah, there's always little niggles. Yeah, whether it's a bruised rib you mentioned earlier, you mentioned the bruised ribs or just those little achy muscles that just niggle away at you throughout the year. That's why rugby league, man, they're athletes. Women's Origin, New South Wales is unchanged to their starting team from game two, and Queensland have a couple changes due to injury. Now, this game's played on Thursday after the men's game one on Wednesday. I'm pretty sure that both teams will be watching the men's game and they'll be hyped up, ready to go, because what Queensland will try to avoid is a whitewash, and what New South Wales Blues will want is a three-game sweep for State of Origin women's.
Do you reckon that's a, like, in terms of a preparation style for both camps, like watching that and sort of getting a feel and knowing that they're going to do the job the next day is a positive? Like for your preparation, not getting too emotional in it?
Great question. I love watching other people play, especially State of Origin, going into a game, because it gives you that bit of inspiration, or it's like fires you
yeah,
up.
I'm with you.
When you see Spencer Leniu running off the back fence. And then when if I'm going into a game on the weekend representing my A-grade team, I'm like, man, I want to be like Spencer. if Spence can do it, I can do it. But that hopefully that's what the girls are thinking when
they do watch the
men's play. Now remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. Another top-of-the-table clash for the PNG Hunters, who play the Black Hawks in Townsville tonight. A massive game. The Blackhawks are one spot ahead of them on the ladder in second place. In New South Wales jersey flag, the Cavite Silktails host West Tigers at Churchill Park in Lautoka on Saturday.
Oh, the Holy Grail at Churchill, the Sugar City. Hopefully they can mirror what the Draw Boys did. I'm sure they will over there.
Now, let's head over to Rugby Union. What do you got for us, Sammy?
Great work, T. I know that Salah's not here, and as much as I do love your insights, I think you're fantastic at your rugby league analysis and all your information, but I can't wait to have Salah back to share the load with you.
Yeah.
You keen for that? Yeah, fair enough. Okay, so you can invoice Salah's one as well.
Can only fit in so many words each day, and
I've
maxed out.
All right, beautiful. Well, let's talk about Rugby Union. What's happening in the beautiful game? They play in heaven, and we're going to start with Moana Pacifica versus Chiefs. This will be on Saturday in Waikato, and they are coming up against a red hot Chiefs team. And I know we're going to talk to Tote more about this game, but this is a juicy one for Moana. If we go back to round six when these two teams played, it was honestly raining tries. The Chiefs won 50-35. But if you remember,
it was a comeback.
It was a comeback. That's the halftime score was 43-7. And I guess for Moana, like, they played their worst half of footy and one of their best halves of footy in the one game. So they've got a lot of confidence coming into this one. I know the Chiefs have won 21 of their last 23 games at home. They haven't lost to Moana yet, and they've played each other six times. Moana are on a streak here. They've won their last three games. And statistically, these two teams are very even. Tries scored 57 to Moana, 56 to the Chiefs this year. Both at 88% tackle completion, so their defense is not too bad. Line breaks are even.
Give me their tries conceded.
The tries conceded. You know me, I don't even worry about looking at it. I just worry about attack.
Your attack.
I'm attack. I know you're a defensive man. But in terms of defensive efforts, the Chiefs are leading the way in terms of conceding the least amount of points in the 22.
So do you think just watching Patrick Pellegrini last week and how he was fearless in his kicking game. Do you think that could open them up a bit by him just the crossfield kicks and Chiefs having to manage the width of that play?
I think so, but what I think for the Chiefs, they play a similar style, like Damien McKenzie.
Oh yes,
my cousin loves Damien McKenzie. I know he tried to model his game around Damien and Richard Mo'unga.
The speed of Damien
doesn't have the speed, but that vision of playing that kick space if it's on. Like they're having a crack, so I think this is a really interesting matchup. I know you spoke last week when he had to come up against Bodie Barrett. He took so much confidence out of that game that he got one over, one of the best players in the world, one of the greatest. He'll go down as one of the greatest. So he is up for the challenge against Damien McKenzie and his team. And probably the only noticeable difference with these teams at the moment is that penalty goals and conversions. The Chiefs are more successful in that area. So it's around penalty goals, they're at 90% success rate for conversions. Mine is down at 75%. And the difference last week was actually Ardy Salvia opting those kicks. So it's going to be an epic game. It's going to be an epic game. And I believe that if Minor can't do it this week, I reckon they'll get it done against the Hurricanes the following week. They just need to win one out of these two games and they're in. So that's going to be special. And one question I really want to ask Dota is, how much did that game take out of the players emotionally? Can they get back up for it again?
Or does it add?
It can go either way. It's like,
Add wood to the fire.
How do you sustain that? Have you come too far down off that emotional high, or have you had the rest and you're able to just, park it and then go again? So I think this is going to be the game of the round.
I know it's hard when, it's cliche when they say after a nice win, all right, let's enjoy that win today and then we go back to work tomorrow. Hopefully, the Moana, after back-to-back-to-back wins and historic wins itself, it'd be hard to switch off the day after a win like that against the Blues.
I think that's the beauty of having someone like Artie in there who's been a consistent winner.
And Tanner.
Just those two voices really understand. It's like you can't celebrate wins as if we're partying, and we can't be down in the dumps like a funeral, like feeling when we lose. You can't be living that space of emotion. It's like that was unreal. Really identify that what we achieved was great, but we're not done. Let's go again. Let's get to work. So I think their voices throughout the week is crucial, and that's the stuff that we don't get to see around their preparation, which I'm really looking forward to. With their team news, there's no William Havili. He's out, so De Vito Offa goes to fullback and Solomon Alemaalo goes to the wing. And probably, I don't know if you've seen their socials at the moment, Minor Pacifica, the Kiwi Black Ferns gave them a gift. Did you see that?
No.
They gave them a new bin.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I did see it on socials.
They gave them a new bin because the old bin copped an absolute hiding.
The lid got broken.
It was broken, and I thought they did a really good job around the socials and making it pretty lighthearted, and the Black Fern girls coming to drop off their new Moana Pacifica bin.
Did that make sense? The lid got broken.
Yeah, 100%. Or did we fresh out somewhere? Nah, that's good.
We fresh out many times.
Yeah, exactly.
Just carry on.
So I think that's a nice little gesture from the girls to be able to give it to them. And those little pick-me-ups, I think that's what that helps.
Some nice acting skills there from your cousin too.
I don't know how he picked up a Kiwi accent though. I don't know where that's come from. But
family chat.
Yeah. Are you sure you're born and raised here in Australia? And all of a sudden he's like, yeah, cheer, right? Cheer, yeah. But he's enjoying his time there, and he's absolutely loving being in that environment. The Drua have the bye this week, so no game for them. They'll got an extra time to get ready for the Reds next week. But let's move over to the Wallaroos. They are now ranked 6th in the world, and they are coming up against second-ranked Canada tonight in Brisbane. So that will be a big clash for them and their next big test for them after beating the US. So I think the last time they played against Canada, Canada won 33-14. Again, so they're getting some really good test matches in before their World Cup. I see a couple of changes. Martha Ford comes back into the side. And Adiana Dalakai, she gets her first cap for this year for 2025. And I know this is going to be a special one for her. They're their family, and much love, Ofalahiatu, to the Dalakai family with the sad passing of their dad only a couple of weeks ago. So this is going to be an emotional one for her. And remember, T, when she spoke about her debut game and she went through that process of not telling her parents.
Yeah, didn't want to tell the family.
But they ended up making the trip up there. I think it was up. I actually think this was up, in Queensland.
And then she was proud the moment she's seen her parents.
Yeah. So this is going to be a special occasion for Adiana. I know that her dad will be watching, you know, from above, and she'll be making sure that she goes out there and does him proud. So much love to her and the Dalakai family. We also see Ash Masters back in there, and it's an all sort of Pacifica back row. Masters at 7, Dori Nakavandra at 8, and Sio Kopesi Palu, who's on fire, at 6. And then, yep, Faitala Moleka, like what we said last week, she keeps the 10 spot because that is her position. And after this game for the Wallaroos, I believe they don't play another test match until July. So they'll get a well-deserved rest after this one. And over to the other side of the world, we know rugby union is the global game. We have many Pacifica stars playing overseas. And in Europe, we had 4 Fijians who played in the French competition, the top 14, have made their team of the year. We saw Sam Matavesi for Lyon. We had Lione Nakarawa for Cast. And we've seen Joshua Tuisova for Racing 92 and Sorelli Makala for Bayonne. All of those players had an outstanding year in the top 14, so well deserved to be in that side. And staying on Fijian rugby, the Drua have signed Fijian seven-star Georgi Nasova for next season, so that's a big one for them. And we also, in other signing news, Rugby Australia re-signed Filippo Dangunu for a couple more years with the Reds. And we also see Pete Samu return from France and will join the Waratahs and the Wallabies. So that's a big inclusion for the Waratahs and the Wallabies, and hopefully he might be ready for the British and Irish Lions as well. He comes into contention for selection. If not, I'm sure Totai will have him in his side. And that's us for Rugby Union, T.
No, it's not us. To Totai Kefu shortly to cover more Rugby Union. But first, let's head over to our Nijan All-Stars introductions for this week.
It was missionaries and colonizers who brought Christianity to the Pacific over 200 years ago. But in the years since, the region has become a melting pot of diverse faiths, beliefs, and philosophies. Pacific Soul explores this and asks, what do we believe? Join host Melissa Makin for a Talanoa about our faith and beliefs on Pacific Soul. Sunday mornings at 8 o'clock PNG time on ABC Radio Australia.
The Nijan Footy All-Stars!
Each week, myself and Sammy pick some players from league and union from the week before, and we will add them to our squad, and then we'll choose a starting team at the end of the year. How's your lineup looking, Sammy?
Man, it's getting harder and harder every week to pick, and what I've realised, I've gone heavy with the back row, and so my 6, 7, and 8, there's plenty of those guys in there, and the back three. So I've got no one really in the tight five. So I've had to really try and identify some players to, you know, get the balance right for my team. Yourself?
Front row heavy.
Front row heavy. you can put them to the back row.
And yeah, very. I'm just going to have to play some front rows at halfbacks and fullbacks. And
but it's hard when those positions are actually taken up by our Pacifica talent, and they're dominating in those positions.
Hey, they're the best in the world.
In the world. So that's why they keep popping up into our minds. So who are you going with first? Am I first or you first?
You go first.
All right, I'll go with my front row. I needed a front row. Jeff is close. Our good friend Jeff Tumanga Allen. He's going to feature soon, but didn't get in this week. I went with Alan Alatoa from the Brumbies, tight end prop. I didn't realise he scored 8 tries this year. He's on fire. All for a accumulation of about 4 meters in total, just all those little pick and go ones.
Hey, they count.
Nonetheless, they all count.
Still get you in the paper the next day.
Exactly. So, but he's scrummaging. Obviously, he's just been consistent all year throughout his whole career. So he jumps in there, and this guy, I actually can't believe I haven't had him in already. Lalo Milo, the centre for Moana Pacifica. He's been compared to as the Brian Lima. Remember Brian Lima, the chiropractor?
Yep. Put some big hits on.
Shots on. He's been compared to him in terms of looks and the way he goes about his business. And I just, although he does all the big plays, it's his efforts off the ball and double efforts. He was a big reason why they got the job done against the Blues last week. So he now jumps into my Nijan Footy All-Stars Rugby Union team.
Great work, Sammy. In this week's team, my introductions to the squad, my first player plays for South Sydney Rabbitohs, and it is another prop, and his name is Keon Golomatangi. He took 27 carries against the Tigers, and he ran for 286 metres at prop. Now, there's no other South Sydney Rabbitohs player that ran over 200 metres, but this man, he got busy and he played in the middle, so that's why he will be in my squad and joining a long list of great front rowers.
Good luck choosing your front row, my friend.
Yeah, I hope the ones that don't make the team aren't listening. But my other player, PNG Flyer, 3 tries for the Storm against the Sharks last weekend, and one of his trademark tries where he goes up, catches it in the air, comes down, scores a try, and it is none other than Xavier Coates.
Oh, he wasn't in your team beforehand. Wow.
So
there he goes.
And if you want to hear a cool interview with Xavier, you'll be able to find that wherever you get your podcasts.
Love it. Love it. T, that's going to, I can't wait to actually choose this team. I reckon we make sure your social skills good in terms of social media content skills, any good?
Why?
Just for when we announce our team, I want to do like a proper one, you know, when they do the team list and their faces pop up and stuff like that. We'll make sure we do it, Gun. No, it's not from me, though. I don't know how to do that. beautiful.
Sweet. Let's get to Totai Kefu.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Kefu. Totai Kefu!
With Totai Kefu.
Yes, every week on Nijan Footy Fridays, we are very lucky to have a Pacifica rugby legend. He's played for the Wallabies 60 times, coached the Ikaletahi for 7 years, and will lead the Pacifica and First Nations team against the British and Irish Lions this year, live from Japan. Here he is, King Kefu. Mate, old news to the Pacific and our audience, but it's finally announced. Congratulations.
Yeah, well done to you guys. You broke the story weeks ago. Hey?
Weeks ago.
Sammy's investigation skills in the airport. The
airport lounge, mate. Organic. And it was, as we said last week, it was a huge source, a big source, the CEO of Rugby Australia. So loose lips there, and we got the scoop. But now it has been announced, mate. Obviously, what needs to be done from your end to make this a real competitive side, and then also obviously the cultural piece offered as well.
Yeah, look, I think, ever since I got named, or there was talk of me being named, I've had so many calls from players and even family, friends asking for tickets, water boy duties, baggage, anything. So the interest has been fantastic. No, it's good. It's a huge privilege and an honour. At the moment now, look, I've got some business to finish up here in Japan, but my attention will turn to this team, I suppose, in the next week or so. One bit of criteria for selection is obviously, first you mentioned First Nations Pacifica. I've just been told the other day they all have to be contracted to Oz Super Rugby clubs. So as you know, there's a host of those players running around in Australia.
So that I'm assuming that cuts out a couple off your wish list. What does that selection process look like? Are you heavily involved in the players that will be selected in the team?
I think the Wallaby selectors will be involved in choosing the team. I'll have a little bit of influence, but It'll be players who are probably on the fringe of that Wallaby selection, or players of interest looking ahead to, players that potentially could play for the Wallabies.
I know it's obviously it's a massive occasion, but do you feel like there could be an opportunity missed there to be able to open it up just a little bit? Even for someone like a Willie Genya, for instance, even though he's not contracted to a Super Rugby franchise or to Rugby Australia, like, are we missing the boat with some of those type of players?
Yeah, look, I personally, I think so. And I've yet to sit down and chat with RA around this selection process, and even, I haven't had a chat to Joe Schmidt either. So those conversations will be had, and I'll mention that. I think from a supporter's point of view, they would love to see players like Will Genya, or maybe even some players from Moana Pacifica. Yeah, I totally agree. We shouldn't totally close the door on those players.
What are you most excited about the job?
Jeez. I think meeting the players and the staff, I think that connection piece is always the most important. When you get a group of Pacifica players together and First Nations, it just turns into a bit of a bit of a party, I suppose.
Well, it probably led to my next question, so I'll follow up on the first one. And what does that first bonding session look like?
Oh, well, geez. There's a couple of ways you can go with it, but I think just getting to know everyone, backgrounds, and I've heard of a lot of these players, but I've actually never met them. So that'll be really cool to do that.
Get the carver bowl out, mate.
Exactly. Well, my follow up from that question, obviously, you know how Barbar's Week works. You know how all the other really good teams that you've been successful in. You know that those bonding sessions, like how. How long do you actually have with the group to be able to go get the bonding stuff, but also making sure you're very competitive come game time? Because it's going to be a huge occasion.
Yeah, really good question there, Wixie. The whole purpose of this is obviously the occasion's unbelievable. Like, to play against the British and Irish Lions is a huge, huge occasion. Some of these players, this will be the only time they'll ever get to play against the British and Irish Lions. I'm probably in some of the coaching staff, might be able to share their experience, but this is a huge occasion in itself. And also, as I mentioned, touched on before, this is also an opportunity to showcase the boys' talents. So looking forward to maybe some more higher representative honours after this. So, those two things are really important. But definitely, we need to balance that out. But, I've done that plenty of times before. That shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, I've got no doubt. And I know you have had many phone calls and emails around coaching and water boys and trying to create a title just to be in and amongst that inner sanctum. But for your coaching staff, have you got an idea who that may be? Because I know Campisi Maafu hit me up. He goes, hey, ask Tautai, he needs a scrum coach because he covers Fijian and Tongan, so he reckons that's a big tick. But in all seriousness, yeah, who have you got lined up?
Look, there's some names out there that I threw at RA, and Ben Whittaker's the guy I've been dealing with, who's her head of high performance there at RA. He's mentioned some Pacifica names and some First Nations names. Sekopu Kepu's names has popped up. Wycliffe Palu's names popped up. So there's a couple of names there, but they haven't decided on anyone yet. I suppose we'll have those conversations in the next week or so.
Awesome, mates. I look forward to diving in deep with all your selections and coaching stuff and how you're going to go about that week every Friday until it happens. It's a massive occasion. We're really looking forward to it. But let's shift over to Super Rugby, Moana Pacifica. Let's start with them. They were fantastic last week against the Blues. What did you make of this game?
Yeah, look, unbelievable. Really, really you know, really emotional time. And the crowd, someone said there was over 10,000 people there. Unbelievable. Look, watching the game, and I watched the game again just yesterday. Geez, I think they won that game on the back of their defence. Their defence was absolutely outstanding. You know, just the forced turnovers from the Blues, forced penalties out of them, the constant pressure on their kick chase, pressure on at the rucks and the tackles. I thought they were outstanding. That set up the win, I thought. Their line-out was working well. You know, there's some – everyone's talking about Sevilla's performance, absolutely outstanding. Hey, and look, they've got the best back row going around in Super Rugby, I reckon.
Yeah, I agree.
And Artie's, those other two boys, Miracle and Tupou, they've just absolutely grown because of Artie. So Artie's come in and he's actually made them better. Not too many players can do that. And you know, Artie's, you know, Kyron, three tries, he's outstanding. I'm reading reports that he might go to other teams, which is disappointing. But, yeah, really, really unbelievable effort from the team. And, geez, you know, they got two hard games coming up. People would be silly to write them off.
Well, just with that as well, I was just thinking, backing up their performance, they've run three in a row. And it looked like a real emotional performance too. Like, it meant a lot to Moana to be able to get up and go after the so-called big brothers. And now you start seeing on social media some of the commentary that came out of the last game. So there's a healthy rivalry there, which is good to see. How hard is it to back up that emotional performance again, to go again against the Chiefs in Hamilton?
Yeah, bloody hard, bloody hard. This is a really good job for Tana to try and control and manage expectations and emotions. That's a massive role for the head coach. So hopefully during the week, you know, if I was in charge of that Moana team, I probably would have given him a couple of days off over the weekend and maybe even Monday. Physically, there's not much more you can do, right? It's only just ticking some boxes here and there, maybe a few little adjustments here and there. But seriously, maybe, you know, start to build the week up from maybe Wednesday, Thursday, and then get them peaking on the weekend again.
You mentioned Artie Sevilla, and, you know, after the weekend, it's locked in that he will win Player of the Year for Super Rugby. You know, how special of a year has Artie had?
That's crazy, right? There's still two rounds to go, and he's won that award. That's unbelievable. He's, one of the commentators mentioned that this is the most influential individual performance that they've ever seen in all of Super Rugby. I don't know the name of that commentator, but he was commentating when I was around. So that was 30, 40 years. And for him to say that is unbelievable because, you know, there's been players like Jonah Lomu, you know, Rupeni Thauthau, who have absolutely, I think, been outstanding. But that's a massive statement. And I tell you what, I reckon he's right on the money there.
Yeah, I think he is. I think it was Tony Johnson, the Kiwi commentator. Yeah, TJ. Yeah, he mentioned, and there's a few more saying that as well, even in my time, you know, you look at the Sonny Bills and that the influence that they had on teams, but I feel like Artie's absolutely killing it. And probably when I was saying to T on Monday's show, probably the most underrated asset from or quality that Artie has is decision making. So when I look at that Blues game, when he decided to go for penalty goals, you know, I think it, like in your eyes, is that like a semi-final type of performance around decision making and leadership, knowing, okay, we've had a couple of cracks going to the line and trying to score, we can slow that down with our back-to-back penalties, let's take points on offer. Do you feel like that's a massive area of growth for Moana to, like, we're prepping for finals footy?
Yeah, totally, because it's all about points and points. You know, no one talks about scoreboard pressure anymore. You know, the Queensland Reds don't take any shots at goal. And I reckon they lost the game because of that against the Chiefs in Hamilton. They lost that game because they didn't take a shot at goal. But I mentioned it before, one thing that Artie does, he and Jonah Lomu and players like that probably didn't do this, but he makes other players better around him. Miracle's just, his game has grown. Unbelievable. And Tupou Taylor, he's come from ITM?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, ITM program, just a chance. And yeah. Yeah.
And he's cemented his spot. And I think I mentioned this last week. He's kept Sione Havili on the bench, who I rate highly. So to have that influence in the squad, and you can tell the boys play for him. And that's an unbelievable skill. Not many people have that.
I'm pretty sure on this bit of info here from Dubol Semisi, the Highlanders or his ITM Southland actually paid for his ticket to train with Minor Pacifica. So there was no guarantees. They just knew there was something in this guy. And Tana said, if you can get him up here, and they sort of gave him like almost like a scholarship style to get up there, and he's obviously made the most of it. So absolutely killing it, which is good to see. They're the stories that you want to hear. We'll quickly touch on the Drawers' performance. They have the bye this week. They're going to go next week against your Reds, but nice to finish on a win in front of their home fans.
Eight in a row in Lau Toka.
Nine in a row. Nine.
That's outstanding. Look, it was all. I watched the game. It was all Force early on, and I even think they scored early. I think the Force, but look, there were times where Drua, I think, were just inconsistent around trying to get out of their own half, and just apply constant and consistent pressure. You know, they had little. It's been the same story every week. There were times where they just turned the ball over or penalties, but they finished that first half strongly with really two really Drua tries, really, because I think the first try came from just some unstructured play. There was some X factor on the edge and offload. I think for the Drua, they've just got to learn how to balance that unstructured and structured.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, especially in the last month, they've been trying to run out of their own half too many times, and they've just got to balance that up with, all right, we've just got to be diligent around just kicking the ball, put a good kick pressure on it, once they can do that consistently, I just think they're just going to be a more polished team. At the moment, just a little bit too erratic, and, you know, we keep talking about them about every week. There's always penalties, turnovers, and but look, they finished this game strongly, 38-7. Their second half was outstanding. Their number eight, I thought, played a really good game.
Vanakaivata, yeah, he's been special this year.
Yeah, and someone mentioned he's got the most carries in the whole competition. Dubol Taylor would probably be number two, I'd say.
Yeah, it seems like a very common theme throughout the year with the Drua and, you know, them getting that balance right. And, you know, listening to each week, it seems like the other Super Rugby teams are also just going in there hoping that they do play that erratic football.
Yeah, you're not
so
wrong.
So that they can, you know, capitalise on that and force some errors. But one positive thing with that last home game is that Sammy no longer has to fly over and do his commentary and have his weekend holidays.
Mate, I've had a couple of wee upgrades too, thanks to a good friend of mine. just Mr. Wikes, you are now turning left in the plane, so it's always fun.
I thought I'd finish up with a bit of State of Origin chat. Have you managed to see the squads for both New South Wales and Queensland?
I just scanned them the other day. So next Wednesday, right?
Yes, Wednesday, game one in Brisbane.
Okay, so in Brisbane, well, not a good spot, not a good hunting ground for you Blues. Have we got a little side bet going on?
Yeah, oh, well.
It's always a side
on
bet.
Now.
Yeah, it's on.
Let's go with the series. What are we saying? Wear a jersey for an episode?
I think so. I think keep it consistent.
Yeah.
Our mate looked really good in that blue jersey last year, so I think we can continue that. Thoughts?
Or up to stakes, and if we Blues win, we get some access to the in Pacifica First Nations
game. Is the series over by then? I don't know. Is it over? Would the series be over by then?
I'm not too sure. I think my game's 22nd of July.
Do you know the origin calendar off your head there?
It'll be done by then.
It'll be done by then. Okay. That's.
I hope.
Oh, we'll come back at this stage. It is the jersey.
Jersey, yeah.
And then we can up the stakes, especially if it gets a bit juicy and it's 1-1. And we'll go from there. All right, my friend, it's always a pleasure. Congrats again, and we look forward to talking to you again next week.
Up the Blues.
And good luck to Kintetsu as well.
All good. Thank you, boys.
Tune in to Pacific Beat for all the latest news from around the Pacific region. Pacific Beat features interviews with leaders, newsmakers, and the people who make the Pacific beat.
So far, we have enjoyed a very peaceful environment. That stability and that law and order is still here, and I think that's important for continuity. So I think that's something that every Solomon Islander should be proud of.
Pacific Beat, weekdays at 6 a.m. and 5 p.m. PNG time on ABC Radio Australia.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
Yes, each Friday we finish the show by our knockout tipping competition. The loser at the end of the year has to buy a jersey of the winner's choice. And reminder, we can only pick one team each week until... Sorry, you can't pick that team again until
we've reset. Yep.
Until you've picked all the other teams. Yep. So rugby union is a reset. And league, we have another few teams to pick before we reset. But
a good pick on the Eels last week. That was well played, sir.
Thank you.
You saw that one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The score is 14-12 on my way.
Yeah, I was horrible last week. I was horrible.
But it gets a little bit tricky this week with league because we have Origin and there's a lot of teams with the buys. And we've only got, four more games left this weekend. So I'll let you do the honours and kick us off.
Oh, man, I was just... Am I going Manly? Because I went the Cowboys last week against Manly and then Manly came up trumps. I know they might be missing a couple.
Manly to beat the Eels?
Yeah, because Mitch Moses is out. But it's junior Bowler's 250th.
Yeah, they'll be up for that one. They will be up. And it's wet weather footy. So
I don't know.
Big dunes in the middle.
Have they got enough in the halves to make good decisions? That's my only concern. So, I'm running out of time here. Oh, wait, let me go to. I'm going to go
wait,
to.
Hold on.
I'm going to go to rugby first. I'm going to go to rugby. I'm going to choose. Oh man, I don't even know who to choose in rugby because we got to start again because we've chosen everyone and the Force and Waratahs. Do we choose someone from there? No. Oh, you know what? I'm going to go the Hurricanes to beat the Reds. I know the Reds lost last week and the Reds are at home, but I think the Hurricanes are on a run. And I feel like, I'll go the Hurricanes for that one. Manly, help me out here.
So you're Eels. Thinking Manly versus Eels? What other options?
I don't know.
Oh, you can only pick Eels, Manly, or the Knights anyway.
Yes. I don't want to go the Knights versus Penrith.
No, that's I wouldn't be doing that. Nah. Oh, maybe with Nathan Cleary, Dylan Edwards, and Yeo.
Yeah, but they're missing Ponga. They're only one-man team.
I don't know. I'll leave this one for you.
I'm going Manly. So Manly and the Hurricanes, that's who I'm going.
Beautiful. In my pick, I will go the Panthers to beat the Knights. And who's going to win, Force or Waratahs?
That's such a tough game. Like the reason why, because the Force is coming back from Fiji and they had a long haul flight. It was like 10 hours to get home and no business class. They're big boys. I know they're coming off a loss as well in terms of that it could fuel their performance against the Tars, but the Tars also came off a heavy loss and their coach absolutely sprayed them.
I'm going the
Force. So it's an emotional one.
Nah, I'm going the Force.
That's a great pick. It's at home, their last game. Okay, right. Sweet.
Every time you say that, they lose.
All right, that's us. That's us done.
That
what a
us.
Show. What a great show. Nijan Footy Fridays, favourite day of the week. Make sure you tell your Pacifica mates, just tell everyone actually, get around us Monday and Friday. Just search for Nijan Footy wherever you get your podcasts.
Everyone have a great weekend and we'll see you on Monday. Ka kite. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.